May 21st, 1999, we're getting ready for an interview with Carol and John Hebert. My name is Carol Hebert. I'm from Ontario, Canada. I'm a volunteer here at the school.
I'm John Hebert. I'm involved in GED and just a maintenance work.
Yes, I'm John Hebert from Ontario, and I'm involved here at the Hyman Settlement School for a couple of years.
Tell me a little bit about your backgrounds first, before you came to the Hyman Settlement School as volunteers. Things like where you're from and your education. Earlier volunteer experience. Maybe John, you'd like to go first.
Well, parents immigrated from Russia in the 20s, and I was born in Canada. Took me, my high school years were broken up by working 2 years and going to Bible school 3 years in between, so it took me 10 years to get my high school. My students always enjoyed that story. Took 3 years of Bible college as well, and taught high school for 30 years in science. Had a farm on the side, a blueberry farm, kept us out of mischief in summer. So I guess that about sums it up.
Okay, Carolyn, what's your background?
I grew up on the west coast of Canada. My parents were also immigrants from Russia, but we're German-speaking. I grew up in a family of four, youngest. I went to college in Winnipeg, and that's where John and I met. Bible college, that is. And I took a number of courses at universities in Ontario after that, and taught 2 years in Canada, and then we went for 2 years to Columbia, South America to teach in an American school there. I've worked with immigrant people in Canada for a number of years, teaching them reading and writing of English, and just helping them adapt to the Canadian culture. We've had a history of volunteer work in our family. My brother were in volunteer work when I was a child even, and set an example for me that way.
You have family, don't you? You have some children?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have three children. A daughter who is a speech pathologist in the schools in Northern Ontario. She got her master's at McGill in Montreal. And we have a son who's presently a youth pastor at our church in Ontario, and the youngest just finished his honors science, mm-hmm. and is in landscaping business right now in the summer. We don't know what he's doing next year.
Well, you might be interested in to know that all three of us have immigrant parents, because the very same time that yours were coming from Russia, my father was coming from England. So we're all three of us are immigrants, the children of immigrants.
Most North Americans are immigrants, unless they're Canadian.
Now, you mentioned your church. You are at home, you're members of the Mennonite Church, is that correct?
Mennonite Brethren.
Mennonite Brethren. Could you tell me a little bit about the church, and especially about the volunteer services that you are a part of?
Well, the Mennonite Brethren, as a denomination, began in 1860. And has done relatively well, I guess, in terms of serving. It's always been a history of serving, mission work and serving. And we're also part of the larger MCC, Mennonite Central Committee, and that's the organization that we're here under. That's supported basically by Mennonite Brethren, by the Mennonite General Conference of Mennonites, and the Brethren in Christ denominations.
And is that an international organization, or are you here under the North American one, or?
It's an international organization. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of, I'm not exactly sure, 700 to 1,000 people out in various countries.
And have you been other places with the service before you came to Heinemann?
We were with another organization that was considered parallel to the MCC. We were with the Mennonite Brethren Board of Missions and Services, and that's how we went to Colombia. We went and taught under that, their auspices.
Well, you know, of course, as you stand in the long line of people who have volunteered for more than 9 decades at the Heinemann Settlement School, so I'd just like to ask you some things that are fairly general about your 2 years of service here, which are going to be ending in July. Basically, tell me what each of your major responsibilities were while you were here, and then you know, anything you'd like to say about what happened during those 2 years in those responsibilities. Carol, John, whoever would like to start.
All right, I'll start. My job here was to maintain the craft shop, the Marie Stewart craft shop. It's just a little store, and it caters to local crafters, not only out of Knott County, but surrounding counties as well, and even some from Lexington. Whoever sort of comes along and volunteers to put things into this consignment shop. The crafts are brought in to be juried, first of all, by someone or a group of people who qualify in that craft. For example, someone who does woodcraft would be juried by someone else who does woodcraft and is considered respectable in that craft. And if they're accepted into this juring process, then they're allowed to bring in their crafts. And the crafter sets their price, and at first we put a 20% markup on the crafts, but as time went along, we found out that we had to change the prices sometimes for DAR conventions, and we also put in a credit card machine, so the prices were put up to 40% markup instead, plus the tax. And seems to have worked out all right. The prices are reasonable, anywhere from something for $3 or even less to something like a quilt for over $700, just depending on the amount of work that's put into it and what the crafter expects to get out of it. My job has been to encourage crafters to talk to customers, to welcome them, and to tell them as much as I can about the history of the settlement school, and to read some of the information and books that are in the craft shop, and to try to advertise as people come in to speak well of the place so that they'll come back again and support the work at the settlement school. I feel like my job has been partly public relations, because what people get as an impression from the craft shop will carry over into support for the school as well, I think. I really enjoyed meeting the craft people and customers. It's been a real pleasure to visit with all kinds of people and to get to know them.
Maybe I could ask you, if I were to come into the shop, what kind of crafts would I see there right now?
All right. Well, if you go around the store, you'd probably start with books. The first thing people go to usually is books. They come in with that in mind. And we have books by about 25 to 30 authors. Mr. Still is probably our oldest writer, and he has about 6 or 7 different books in the craft shop for sale. Verna Mae Sloan has her books there, and there are numerous other writers, Lee Smith and Sharon McCrum and others, Chris Holbrook. We have dolls. We have angels, we have Christmas ornaments, we have hand-woven rugs and placemats and table runners. We have woodcraft such as jewelry boxes made of wood or carved animals or knives that are made of wood. We have cassettes and CDs. We have videos.
I think you mentioned that one of the most popular things is pottery.
Oh, right. Pottery is probably our biggest seller right now, partly because Michael Ware, who is our major potter, is well known in the community as a teacher and a wonderful PR person. And people come in to buy his craft partly because of the kind of person he is. But his craft is also beautiful and unique because he has his own style. And it's really worth the money that is put into it. And then we have baskets too. We have a number of basket makers. Sad to say, right at the present, we don't have a basket maker who does baskets from scratch. They buy the materials and make the baskets, and they're beautiful. But I have been looking for basket makers who would start right from the tree. And there are a number in the community, but those people usually get rid of their ware before they get it to the craft shop, so it's not a good proposition for them to have it there. And another thing with consignment, people are a little leery sometimes about putting things on consignment because they're afraid it might not be looked after well enough, and it may sit there for a year without being sold, and they don't have money in their hand until it's sold. So it is a bit of a risk for a crafter to do that.
Now, most of them are local?
I would say at least 50% or more would be local crafters. Yeah.
And am I correct that one of the reasons for starting this shop was indeed to help local crafters so that they could either earn extra money or perhaps even have this be their major source of income?
Yes, I think that's what it was started out as, yes, to help carry on the heritage of the crafts that have been developed through the years and to give an outlet for sales of crafts that people are making. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us just about one or two of the crafters who, you know, that you've sort of been especially interested in or think that their stories are interesting?
Well, I'm always looking for people who really need the craft shop, like it's not just a hobby. and Henrietta Calhoun is one of those. She's one of our top crafters. She makes dolls, and basically she's a doll maker, I would say, and she makes ornaments and things. She's a perfectionist in her work, and her dolls always are dressed perfectly, and the faces are beautiful, and they're... She just does excellent work, but her craft is not just a hobby, it's how she makes a living, because her husband is dependent on her because he's disabled, so they've actually begun to work together at this, and she has supported her girls in their college education as a result also of her crafting. She will sit in the craft shop and work when I need a volunteer as well. Very cheerful and very willing to help wherever. And she's been on TV, had her crafts and her home on TV on a special video that they made.
You think that this program has been really helpful to many of the crafters like Rebecca?
To Henrietta?
Henrietta.
Yeah, I think it has to her particularly. Some of the crafters, it's just a hobby. And it's just a place where they have an outlet to use their craft. And they're not dependent on. Most of them have their own jobs besides. So it's not those kind of people that get the benefit of it. But there's pride in it, I think, that their craft is being sold and they are making money off of it. And I think it does serve a purpose that way.
Well, and certainly the school from the very beginning wanted to encourage people to, you know, to maintain skill in the local crafts, even if they weren't, let's say, selling to the fireside industry. So in that sense, it is fulfilling what was a very old beginning principle of the Hyman Settlement School.
That's right.
John,
I have one more thing. You asked about interesting stories. One of our crafters is about, oh, I'd say 60. She's not quite 65, I guess. She's a quilter. And she always says, oh, okay, I sold a quilt, now I can go on a vacation. And not too long, this spring actually, she came, oh, I called her up and said, I just sold one of your quilts, actually two of your quilts, and it amounted to about $1,000 for her. And she said, oh, just yesterday, I just paid the price on a ticket to go to Alaska this summer, and it was almost that exactly amount, that amount of money. And here she'd earned the money as she was paying for the trip. So she said, okay, I'm going on another vacation. So she was really thrilled about that.
John, how about you telling us a little about what your 2 years have been like here?
Actually, I was hired as a GED tutor. And after a month being here, another tutor came under MCC, and so dividing the load in a sense resulted in the fact that there wasn't enough work as a tutor. And so by that time Mike realized that I was a hands-on type of guy and had some experience in building and maintenance and that kind of thing, so it was decided that I would tutor 2 days a week in the homes, this is adults in the homes, and work on maintenance the rest of the time. And then another development came up during that first year. The James Still Learning Center, the school, needed a phys ed teacher. So I've been taking three periods of phys ed a week since then. That's been very enjoyable. I've enjoyed that. And I think they have too. They've benefited. They've learned how to play floor hockey and some new games, which have been pretty good.
Tell us a little bit about the home tutoring program, the kind of people that you're working with in that program.
Some of them are those that got left behind years ago. So my oldest student right now, I guess, is 51, started at a grade one level. Couldn't read or write properly, well, a few words, but nothing of significance. And others are those who have dropped out of the system, usually at grade 9 or 10 level. They've been out of school for 2 or 3 years and realize that they need the high school education, so they call up and want to get into the program. It's difficult for them, though, to continue very often to follow through and to complete, just because of the demands on their life or their time. Then they get jobs sometimes in between. But to their credit, a lot of them, if they go quit for a while, they'll come back on and keep going. So it's something a lot of them realize they need.
These people that you tutor at home, do they also come into the Human Services Center for classes, or is all of the instruction that they're getting now at home with you?
It's all in the home. And I usually just visit them once a week. Look over the material they have completed. We'll discuss some new work, new concepts, especially in math. A lot of them have difficulty in math. And then give assignments for them to do until the next lesson.
Well, tell us a little bit about that other aspect, because as we were talking earlier, I said, you know, I really knew you as the man who was doing all the building around here and was not even aware that you were in the GED program. So tell me a little bit about some of the projects that have been going on that you've been really either responsible for or have done major work on in these last couple of years.
A year ago in fall, Mike came to me and he said, John, we've got to get these poplar logs off the ground or they'll be rotted by spring. These were the logs for the Vernon May Sloan's cabin. that were lying there. So, okay. Well, I said, if we're going to move them, we may as well set them up. So that was a good project for several months, was to get Vernon A. Sloan's cabin erected. Still isn't finished, but there's some money involved now with the chimney and the shingles, the shakes on the roof. It'll get done, though.
Well, certainly I see a great difference, because I think I recall, I suppose a year or a year and a half ago when, you know, there was nothing there, and then came back and saw what is certainly the skeleton. I mean, it needs work inside, but basically the cabin is there, so.
It's solid and secure, yeah. Another project we did this spring was up in the priest building, replacing half or a quarter of the floor joists and putting a new footer underneath, and so it was a rather major maintenance that needed to be done to save the building. And now the walking bridge, we've completed one end and just starting on the other end.
Yes, is that the bridge where the one side fell down one day and the other side fell down the next?
A little later, that's right.
Okay. Well, I think you're going to be a really hard person to replace, you know, because I know that there's constant repair work that needs to be done here, and not always either enough talent or enough time for those who are here to be able to do that.
It's also been enjoyable to build little things for anybody that needed them. The library wanted a puppet stand, so that was built. Hazard Community College Extension wanted a lectern, so I was able to make that. And just numerous other things. Right now, I just got the wood together to build a set of steps going up into the loft of Mr. Still's cabin. So that's supposed to go up next week.
Well, and I'd also like to mention one thing, because of course you did those lovely hangers for the quilts in the dining room as well. That's one of the things that I've seen, which is very beautiful work. Well, I guess I want to ask you just a couple of practical questions, I guess, about what your arrangements with the Hyman Settlement School is, or maybe I should say the arrangements of the Mennonite Community Center, is that? What?
Mennonite Central Committee.
Mennonite Central Committee with the Hyman Settlement School to have you here for the 2 years.
The school supplies the living quarters.
And that is
most of the...
can you tell what, an apartment, a house?
We actually have a three-bedroom apartment. So we have lots of room for guests, and I must say we have had quite a few guests coming from Ontario. In that connection, it's also been our privilege to interact with Ontario a number of times. We've taken the young people from the Methodist Church up there for a weekend. We've had young people from our son's church come down here for several days. In the apartment, most of the appliances belong to the settlement school. Some belong to NCC. Then we eat our lunches and suppers here at the settlement school. Breakfast we have on our own. In terms of finances, the Hyman Settlement School provides a stipend for each of us. And that, of course, as far as we're concerned, goes into MCC coffers. So basically, MCC is more or less, I guess, coming out even in terms of our assignment because of that stipend.
And will there be somebody following you here, do you know, from the MCC?
There's a couple coming. What's his name?
Arnold and Lorraine Barron.
They're coming from California to replace the tutors. They're not coming to work in the craft shop, but coming as two tutors to work, and they will be living, they'll move right into the place we live, and the furniture and linens and everything stays there, because all they need to bring is their personal effects, and so all of that is provided.
Okay. I have a few just final questions. Are there more general musing kinds of questions about your experience here? And I guess the first musing question is simply, what has it been like to live and work at the Hyman Settlement School during the past couple of years. You might want to talk about the programs or the staff or any of those kinds of things, whatever you want to muse about.
Well, it's been very enjoyable. I must say it's been enriching. People here are very kind. They're open, they're generous. We've enjoyed very much the interaction at the Hyman Methodist Church. We've been in charge of the senior youth there for over a year, and that's been enriching, certainly, and a challenge as well. But I know we've also been involved in a small care group where we meet once a week, study the Word, and also to do some service projects and just social interaction. That's been very, very good. We've made a lot of friends, and we expect to see a lot of those friends back in Canada for a visit when we get back there.
Actually, we took one of the couples with us to Ontario for a retreat of our church back home, and we spent the weekend with the group there, and we just had a wonderful time. So we really expect to continue friendships with some of these people from here. It's been good, yes. We've enjoyed the staff here very much. There's a laid-back feeling very often, and slowed down kind of a lifestyle in a way, and it makes volunteering easier because you're not under in a pressure situation to get this done or that done. You have your own motivation, but it's not that someone is pushing you to get this or that done because it's that kind of a situation. And it's been interesting to not have to cook meals and to just have someone look after you hand and foot almost very often, because meal preparation is such a big thing of a person's life.
With that kind of an open atmosphere too, it's been my privilege to spend time in the woodworking shop evenings and Saturdays. So I've been able to put together a number of crokinole boards, sold a few just to pay expenses and gave the rest away, which is a table game, by the way. I've also made my first dulcimer. I've made a high back chair during Folk Week last year. So I've enjoyed just the access to the shop and the tools there and making things.
Learning as well as teaching
in
that respect, huh? Well, indeed. One of my impressions here, especially of the staff, is an impression of family. The way people don't have very rigid, defined roles, and so if somebody has to run over to help somebody else because someone's ill at lunchtime or whatever, and that's a wonderful kind of atmosphere where nobody feels that they're doing their job, and once they've done that, they off they go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the kind of place for you as volunteers to move into must be very, very nice. Well, just let me ask you finally whether there are other things that you wanted to mention about your time here, or what you think the Hyman Settlement School is giving back to this community, anything of that type before we call it a day.
The role has certainly changed over the years. History will bear that out, but certainly the dyslexic school, or a school for this children with dyslexia, I think that is just a very positive contribution to the community and further than the community too, to other states even.
I think the program that's just begun with the social work that Tracy is doing to help people.
The welfare to work program.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that is beyond the GED, and I think that is really meeting the need where people need to get out into the workforce but don't have the tools for it to get out there, and she's really training them in something that I would support a lot. That's the kind of work I did back home, and to me that is a real vital thing with adults, to get them to be able to go out there and to work. I think the craft shop has its place too, especially if it keeps on serving those who need it, not just just serving, how shall I say, not just serving to make money or something like that, but to keep a heritage going and to keep crafts going, and also to help people who are needy, who could do crafts and could make some money as a result of the craft shop. So I think it's something that should probably continue if possible.
We've enjoyed the music of the Appalachian region as well. Not only the local music making, but it's been our privilege to sing in a couple of Hazard Community Colleges, college choirs, and that's been enjoyable.
Have you followed at all this sort of major initiative involving the school and the town, the CDI, the Community Development Initiative? I guess what I'm asking is, do you have any musings, any observations on what you think has been going on there, whether it's been good for the town, or whether you think the future will indeed be better for having this project come in?
I see some real benefits for the town, for the community. I have one kind of reservation. We have a heart for the youth work, and somehow I'd like to see more energy put into the future of our youth, whether it has to do with recreation or has to do with jobs and so on. Of course, the College of Arts and Crafts, that will be open up an opportunity for work or for learning, of course.
I think it's a really good thing for the community to have something that they can work on together. It should draw the community together, as long as there's continued support and people see that things are happening. I think there will be. My vision is a little different than what they have, what they're working on right now. My vision is this. I find that the people that come into the craft shop are many times people who've gone out of state to find jobs years back, and now they're coming back to visit, to see where they grew up, see where their parents live. And I feel that those kind of people would stay here if there was a place for them to come to. And I know it's a really huge undertaking, but I would see this as a really good place for a retirement community, where things, activities are prepared for adults, and there are homes that are set up like retirement communities that actually feed into a hospital situation eventually, so that you can be cared for from retirement to old age. And I could see this community as serving that, and that would serve as a place for jobs for young people and people to come back into the community, so that not all our educated people leave this community, and that there's nobody left here to keep this place going. So that's my vision for this community, but that's only my vision.
And I have to say that one of the things that's impressed me about this initiative is that there's so much democratic culture that's being taught almost. I think it's almost fair to say that democratic decision making wasn't really the way things
mm-hmm.
were generally done here.
That's right.
And so you have to hope that this is a beginning of teaching people a new and better way
mm-hmm.
To work on large problems
That's right.
of the community. Well, I just have one final question, which I'm sure anyone who listens to the tape or reads these interviews, where are you going to be going from here?
When we finish in July, we hope to head back to Ontario, and then we're going to do a cruise to Alaska together with Carol's three brothers and their wives. And when we get back in September, we expect to volunteer up at our church camp, an hour and a half northwest of Toronto. We're going to be on building and maintenance there for the winter, at least until April of the year 2000. And then we have 50 acres back in Ontario, and we hope to build a house.
So it sounds to me as though you have plenty to keep yourselves busy in the near future.
always.
Well, thank you for the interview and thank you for the 2 years.